listening to Gila Members Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. Welcome to New Earth Kids, a radio show featuring kids who care about their community and the environment in which they live. On this monthly show, kids of all ages talk about the challenges facing planet Earth, and we tell you how we are creating and implementing solutions. New Earth Kids is part of the Kindred Continuum series and airs the third Monday of the month at 10 a.m. and is replayed on the air the following Sunday at 4 p.m. New Earth Kids is produced by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's Youth Empowerment Program, Thinking on a Mountain, for Gila Members Community Radio. Thinking on a Mountain equips kids with the knowledge and skills to navigate an uncertain future while addressing climate justice issues. And now, New Earth Kids.
I think I feel a lot less bored when I'm in nature. Being in the city, you're kind of confined. Plus, there is not as much people who are causing a ruckus. It just feels a lot less limited when you're out in nature.
It's cool that the Gila National Forest has one of the last natural flowing rivers in the whole New Mexico.
I've learned to be very grateful for when I do get to like sit in the water and just exist by it, as well as sleeping by it. It's a very special thing. Not many people get to do that. And realizing its importance, not only just to hydrate you, but also for like your well-being.
Yeah, I feel like every time I camp out with people for multiple days in the wilderness, I'm changed a little bit because of my experience of what appears to me to be really our birthright as human beings, is to be outside in nature with other people and around the fire. And I think this is something that's just so a part of our, it's just a part of a blueprint of being a human being.
Today on New Earth Kids, we head to the Gila National Forest for Eco Camp, a four-day wilderness camp for teenagers. Campers learn a variety of outdoor skills, including how to build a fire from scratch, how to identify geologic features, and which wild plants are edible. But, as we will see, perhaps the most important lesson of all is discovering our connection with nature and how that connection brings us together and back to ourselves. And now, New Earth Kids. We are at Grapevine Campground visiting Eco Camp, a wilderness camp for teenagers. The Upper Gila Watershed Alliance has sponsored Eco Camp for 4 years, and this year we have 6 campers and a handful of instructors and their families. Let's begin our conversation by going around the circle. Please state your name and age and where you're from, and if you're an instructor, please tell us what you teach.
My name's Ezekiel. I'm 13, and I am from Silver City.
My name's Zuma. I'm 13, and I'm from Las Cruces.
My name is Lyra. I am 14 years old, and I am from Las Cruces.
My name is Law. I am 7 years old, and I am from Silver City.
I'm Orion, and I am 7, and I'm from Pinos Altos.
I'm Ra, and I'm 13, and I'm from Gila.
I'm Jordan, and I'm 13, and I'm from Colorado Springs.
Chase, I'm from Pinos Altos.
My name's Andrew Dauberdeen. I'm an instructor. I'm the director of Earthways Outdoors, another nonprofit that gets kids outdoors in Grant County. And I teach what's called Nature Connection Mentoring, which includes all kinds of skills that people would call survival skills, and getting to know your neighbors out in the wild.
My name is Tripp. I'm 15, and I am from Silver City.
My name is Mike Fugali. I'm older than the hills, and I'm camp maintenance.
My name is Caroline Fugali. I'm the director of the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance, and I'm organized Eco Camp.
My name is Oli. I'm from Pinos Altos, and I am medical.
My name is Dylan. I am from Silver City, and I joined Eco Camp to help teach some of the kids about map reading and geology and all the rich geological history of the Gila.
Okay, thanks everybody.
Wow, what an amazing group of people here.
I'm wondering why you guys are here. Why did you come to Eco Camp? What caught your attention?
What inspired you to come?
I really wanted to camp because we haven't camped in a long time.
I wanted to learn how to do archery.
I came here last year and I wanted to experience it again. Everything last year was fun, so I expected that to be the same this year, and it's been true.
I wanted to go camping because me and my family normally go camping once a year, but my sister and my mom couldn't do it this year, so I wanted to come here.
I also came here last year, and it was an amazing experience, and I thought that a second year would be great. I also get the title of veteran as well, and I'm from the city, so it's really nice to be able to be in the wilderness again, especially for my mental health. So all the peace and quiet, when I can get some, is really nice.
Can you describe an interesting skill that you've learned here at EcoCamp that you did not know before?
How to use a knife and not cut your finger.
That sounds really important.
But cut his finger today.
I learned how to make a fire starter kit, which I didn't even think of learning before, so that was really amazing. I'm also making a yucca bracelet, which I also have never done either.
I've learned how to carve a spoon and burn a divot in it so it can be used.
I learned how to start a fire, not how I learned, but learned a new way.
I learned before you have to go when you're packing, if you want to write or draw, bring a pencil that has two ends so that if you run out of one end, you have the other end.
How do you see yourselves using these skills that you're learning or maybe expanding on them in the future?
I love nature a lot, so I'm thinking that when I'm older and independent, I can just go camping for days and days. Mm-hmm. And it's really important to know how to survive in it so I don't die and can enjoy my time.
With the spoon, first of all, I am thinking of getting a culinary career, so wooden utensils would be a very interesting venture to go through. And also, the carving experience, it made me think about a 3D modeling software I use at home and how you manipulate the edges to create certain shapes.
I can teach it to my kids whenever I'm older, and maybe my nephews and nieces if my sister has kids. If
I might be able to go hunting with my bow and arrow skills.
I learned how to make a fire with hand drill, and a way I could learn on that skill or just use it later in life is probably to make a fire with a hand drill. Maybe I can get things pretty hot. That's probably about it I could use it for.
I was excited to come here and learn more about birds because Mike and Carol Ann are very knowledgeable bird people, and I already have learned a lot about birds, and I'm going to use that in my life because the more birds I learn about, the more of my neighbors I get to know and interact and feel close to and appreciate. So that's been really cool.
Really learned a lot from Andrew, all the things I wanted to know as a kid, like how to shoot bow and arrow, how to, find plants and how to use them and making spoons. And so that was a lot of fun. So I look forward to keep doing that.
I learned what plants I can eat. And you ate them. A lot of them taste like lemon.
Can you give an example? Any names?
I forget them.
Sorrel.
You could lamb's tell
you what
quarter.
Like.
You had lamb's quarter too.
As organizer, I was just really excited to be here to share my love of the outdoors with everybody else, and to see how they connected with it. And honestly, though, I have learned so much from Andrew, and I'm carving a spoon at the moment. And I am learning fire by friction myself, And I think this is a really wonderful opportunity for the instructors also to learn from one another. And we're enjoying it just as much as the kids are, I think.
We should give a shout out to our kitchen staff also. We somehow scored the fabulous Diane. And we've learned that you can eat like kings out here.
And queens.
And queens. And I learned particularly how to cook a peach cobbler in a Dutch oven.
Yeah, cobbler crew.
I learned how to make spears and stuff, and maybe I can use that to go hunting if I don't have any tools to go hunting.
Did you carve a spear, or how did you make a spear?
I just used my knife.
I'd like to get a few more details about some of the things you guys have mentioned. Several of you mentioned learning how to build a fire. Can you tell us a little more about that?
To make the hand drill, you have to use sotal and seepwillow. Seepwillow for the spindle and sotal for the board. And then you just you burn it out a little with the spindle, and then you make a notch in it, and then you just keep the friction going until you get it hot enough and drop a coal. Pretty much.
How long does it take you about to get it hot?
Well, it depends. If you, like, keep it steady and going, you could probably give it in, like, 3 minutes.
What did we, what plant did we learn helps us with our, that we're putting in the middle?
Oh, sage and wormwood. You get a dry stalk of wormwood, and then you get all the leaves off, and then you make a ball in your hand, and then you put it inside of your tinder bundle.
What's the tinder bundle made of?
Oak bark and wormwood in the middle, and some oak bark shavings.
Andrew did teach us a song that we can sing. That's sung sometimes during the fire making process. And can you tell us a little bit more about this song, the meaning of the song?
Sure. Yeah, I learned this song from a friend, and I was told that this song comes from Congo, from Central Africa, and is used to call everyone together to the fire to tell the stories of the day. That's the meaning of this song that we sing when we're making a fire together. So some of the people learned it here. So, yeah, we'll try singing it, I guess. So we can get that first part going, and then I'll start in the second part. And if anyone knows it, feel free to join me on the second part. Otherwise, we can just keep that first part real strong. Yeyem bonge, yeyem bonge, ah, yeyem bonge, yeyem bonge, yeyem bonge, ah, yeyem bonge.
Wonderful. You are listening to New Earth Kids on Gila Membres Community Radio, KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. Today, we're visiting with campers from the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance's Eco Camp, a multi-day camp for teenagers. Let's get back to the campfire and hear more about how their immersion in nature is helping to reshape their knowledge and views of the natural world. You guys must have learned how to identify several plants just in order to make your fire.
What other plant and bird species have you learned about or can you now identify?
I learned about the yellow-breasted chit, I believe. I don't exactly know their call, but they have a very distinct appearance with their yellow breast.
I was very familiar with them before, but down the river there's this bullfrog that calls every night, and I originally thought it was an elk, only to my surprise that it was actually a bullfrog, which is also invasive. Invasive to my ears as well. And then I also learned about tadpoles. I don't know what they are, though, but I've seen so many. I think bullfrog tadpoles? Yeah, bullfrog tadpoles as well. So they're around.
Did you see the bullfrog?
No, I haven't, but I did see one last year.
I learned that vultures drop hairballs.
What's in the hairballs?
Man, it's behind you.
I thought that's what the hair was.
The one that fell on me was like a skunk.
How did you know it was a skunk?
Because it smelled really bad.
Uh-huh. And did you pick it up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did it feel like?
It was wet.
Uh-huh. We're scientists. We use all of our senses, huh?
Yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah.
I learned about a black hawk.
Mm-hmm. Any particular details about the black hawk?
Its tail was like curved up and like a U, and there was also some white. I learned that you can use hawk feathers and deer parts to make a staff with feathers.
Sinew, baby. Sinew. I guess kind of this along a similar vein of what Caroline was saying, it's really fun to learn from the other adults, but also to learn from the kids, because it's just the same amount of curiosity we can all approach. And so our early morning birding walks have been such a special time for me, because I've heard these calls before in my own backyard in Pinos Altos, but now Caroline and Mike are able to tell me exactly what they are. And it's been really sweet to look at the book and see, like, hey, this is what the difference is in plumage is. I got to learn about fall coats and how some of the birds change their feathers throughout, and sometimes they look pretty worn, and how it looks like a completely different bird. So it's been really cool to identify our little bird neighbors.
Are there any edible plants out here that you've learned about and tried?
There's this plant near the shore that you can eat. It's called horsetail, and it's actually really good for your teeth. Doesn't taste particularly tasty, but doesn't taste horrible either. Yeah. I think you can also eat, was it yucca flower? Yeah, you can also eat yucca flower, and it tastes like soap. I don't really like it, but it is good for you. And I think you can also put it in tea.
You can eat a grapevine. They are pretty sour. You can also have cattails, the middle of them, the white part. It tastes like cucumbers.
You can also dig the cattail root up and put it in the fire and roast it, and it's like a potato.
I'm gonna try it.
Can any of you talk about an experience you've had here that has helped you change the way you see the natural world?
Last night we went to the Gila Hot Springs, and we did this. Oh, first of all, we saw several dead boiled snakes as well as a rat. So that was a very interesting experience.
In
the hot spring. So knowing that, like, if you, you know, get too close and you're a very small animal, you will die. So best not to do that. Then we did in a group activity afterwards, after the sun went down, where we sat for 10 minutes in silence separately, and we just like observed the sky and around us. And we were taught how to locate the North Star the night prior. And so I immediately looked up to the sky and saw the Big Dipper, and then looked to the right of it and I located the North Star. So that was really neat.
Did anybody else have any kind of experience during the night sit that kind of surprised you or that you'd like to share?
I was sitting. I looked up at the cliffs, and I saw a bunch of trees up on the cliffs. They were swaying. And what's funny is that they looked like a bunch of Bigfoots talking to each other. Like the swaying, it looked like arm and head movement. So it looked, yeah, and also one of them, it looked like he was sitting like with its elbows on the table and its chest over it. So it kind of just looked like two friends talking to each other. So I thought that was funny.
As a chaperone of the two little boys, we left the night sit a little early and started our way back in the dark by ourselves with the seven-year-olds. And we had a lot of really great moments of being afraid of the dark and walking through the high grass. And we came across a tree frog just right in our path who did not move and very much reminded us that this is his home first. And we had some really great moments before we got to the truck, just turning off all our flashlights and listening and letting our eyes adjust and see what was around us in the dark.
Anything else on the night sit, or what about the hot spring?
Because the hot springs is right next to the Gila River. When you got hot, did you go in the cold? How was that?
Was it a good hot spring?
Yeah,
it was a good hot spring because there was the hot spring where it was hot water, and then like across the river there was like another little pool and it was like cold water, so like you could just soak in there so you're not too hot.
My family lived in Faywood Hot Springs for like a good 4 years, so I've basically been using hot springs my entire life. I just thought it was a familiar experience, like just hanging out in the hot springs and being with other people. I usually wasn't with other people besides my family, but it was just a nice moment to be in a hot spring again.
What about the river? Just being here by the river, walking along the river, experiencing all this life in the riparian area. How has being in this environment changed the way you might see nature or water or other things that you interact with?
Just seeing how many things gravitate towards the river, like birds. A lot of people would just think that they stay up in the trees and they just occasionally come down for insects, but they like to hang out around the river too because all the bugs. And of course you got the more aquatic stuff like the bullfrogs, the tadpoles. You also have the insects themselves. They're also drinking. You can also probably find mammals there. They also need to get a drink, and also it's just a nice place to cool down, especially if they have a lot of fur, like bears or foxes.
Where we are from Las Cruces, there's a lot of importance around the Rio Grande River because a lot of farmers will take it like during the middle of summer, and it's not always a thing you get to see very often. So I've learned to be very grateful for when I do get to like sit in the water and just exist by it, as well as sleeping by it. It's a very special thing. Not many people get to do that. And realizing its importance, not only just to hydrate you, but also for like your well-being. Because if you're away from water for too long, you will start to feel effects you didn't think you'd feel. Not only dehydration, but kind of like, I don't know, think differently. You think of more, a little bit more selfishly, because it's not as big of a resource. So when you have it near you, you're more inclined to share. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Just seeing people pick up all the animals, like the frogs and stuff, it kind of just gave me a new perspective, because you got to think about what they're thinking. Like, is this thing going to eat me? It's just, we don't really think about when we're picking them up, we're kind of just taking them without permission. We're not asking. Like, imagine if there was a giant. He just came over. He picked you up. He held you in your hands, and you're like screaming. You thought he was going to kill you or something.
Sounds like you're learning about respecting all creatures. Let's talk for a minute about being together. How is hanging out with other people different in this kind of setting than it might be at school or in a more city kind of setting?
It's different because I'm one of the only seven-year-olds here, and I got to experience what it's like with other people that are like older than you, but still like what you're doing.
I think one difference compared to like a city or a school area is that people don't have their phones and they can't be on their internet, so they're more inclined to interact with each other. And there's just less like hustle and bustle, so you get to talk for longer.
Camping, you're quite literally in a situation where you have to rely on other people for things. I mean, of course, when you have like a paramedic with you, it's nice, but sometimes they're not always around. So when you're in a situation, you kind of have to like trust others, and trust is very important, and you have to like get to know each other as well as depend on each other, because if you don't have something, so maybe someone else will, but you have to make a connection first before just asking and then taking, as well as you have to like respect that item and then give it back at some point. I think that's really interesting, as well as seeing how everyone reacts differently to things. One person, when they see a frog, may be creeped out, like me, and that person may pick it up immediately and put it in their hands and then try taking it with them all the way back to camp. And that person may be just observe it quietly and think it's like really pretty or something like that. And just seeing how everyone like just interacts with nature differently is just a really nice thing. And you don't always get to see that in the city because there's not as much nature. Really, the thing you only get is like a park, and it's a very curated experience. Here, you don't get to choose what you see. It just reveals itself to you.
One thing that I really appreciated from the very beginning was we actually all sat down together, and it was a very interactive process where we got to write down our group agreements, and it was a very open discussion about what we wanted our norms to be for this group, because we are all from such diverse backgrounds. And honestly, just even though Las Cruces isn't so far away from Silver and Silver isn't so far away from Pinos Altos, like our life journey has been so diverse that being able to come together and write these group agreements down was really useful.
Do you guys feel any difference in your feelings or emotions or just how you feel when you're in nature?
So I didn't always live in the city. Before that, I was like raised in more rural country area, and it's a very nice experience, but I didn't have much experience being in said city. So when I moved, it was a very startling experience, especially being all near all the cars, and also being in such a concentrated environment with so many people did kind of frazzle my mental health in some ways. And I've always loved nature, and I was like born and raised around it, and I feel like coming back to it is like kind of returning to my roots in a certain way. And I just feel like so much more relaxed and just appreciative of my existence and other people's existence. I get to enjoy it more slowly and more naturally. And then just like seeing how there's like other beings outside of my life and just humans, seeing how they live and interact with each other. And it's just really beautiful. And it makes me feel very grateful and just, wow, this is such an amazing experience to be living right now and being here right now.
I think I feel what was bored when I'm in nature. I don't know, it's just being in the city, you're kind of confined. You have to walk on the sidewalk if you want to walk somewhere. You have to deal with the road and cars and stuff compared to out here where you can kind of just walk wherever you want. Plus, there is not as much people who are causing a ruckus. For some reason, I am scared around little kids who are just playing. It just feels like they're going to critique me if I walk by. But it just feels a lot less limited when you're out in nature.
As an adult, I realized, because I grew up in this area, that I had started to lose my sense of wonder and paying attention to even just taking the moment to look up at the stars. And we can lose that so quickly with technology and work and kids and everything. And so I've tried to become more aware of that, and coming out here has really solidified that sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes it is a conscious decision to take that moment and be aware and take in the wonder around you.
I just wanted to mention that I had the great opportunity of holding the campsite prior to the event here. And it was a very special time for me because I was here all alone, really. And I got to watch so many of my favorite birds right here on the river corridor coming down to drink. If I would have had a good camera, I would have had perfect pictures of all of them, including the common blackhawk that uses the snag just across from us here. That's one of its primary roosts. And then Friday night came, and Friday night, the peaceful scene that we're talking about right now disappeared. Oh, look, there's a blue grosbeak right over there. In that, it was in the blue willow. Yeah, that's great. So anyway, Friday night came, and boy, the scene changed in a hurry. It's really an unmanaged campground. There's no host here. And the trucks started pouring in. There was a flood here just a couple years ago, and they reallocated the camping spots here, and they put rock barriers up. And very quickly, many of the people driving those trucks were moving rocks and pulling them in down here right next to the river. And so I guess one of the things I learned was just how fragile this really is. You know, we can be here in a moment of perfect solitude and have a wonderful feeling from it, but it takes constant vigilance to make sure that these things are protected. And I hope our community does a little bit better job protecting this particular spot.
Well, that's why it's so cool to have the next generation coming out and seeing how important that is for our future.
This is KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico, and online at gmcr.org. New Earth Kids is part of the Kindred Continuum series on Gila Membres Community Radio and is sponsored by Thinking on a Mountain, a youth empowerment program administered by the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance. Next, we'll hear from Carol Ann Fugali, the director of UGWA and the organizer of EcoCamp. I'm talking with Carol Ann Fugali, who is the EcoCamp organizer. Carol Ann, this is a multi-day camp with teenagers. What were your initial goals and expectations when you created this camp?
So I had the fortune of growing up in rural Nebraska, and I was outside most of the time, either playing in the big fields next to my house or apple orchard. And it actually wasn't until I was an adult that I realized that not everyone had a play-based childhood. Not everybody had that opportunity and privilege. And how those early childhood experiences change the way you are as an adult. What you value, the occupations you choose or that you don't choose. I've been an environmental educator most of my career as an adult. And so I wanted to be able to share that love of the outdoors and the natural world with students, but in a more meaningful, deep way. And so I thought, well, I love to go camping, so let's just go for it. Let's go for 4 or even 5 days. And so that's what we did. So the students here are teenagers, ages 13 to 18 years old. And that time frame in their lives is challenging, right? They have a lot of social pressures or anxieties. And so what I find is when they're out here in this very beautiful, peaceful place of the Grapevine Campground next to the Gila River, that their anxieties melt away. And they're able to slow down and be calm and just, they're off social media. We have no internet connectivity, no Wi-Fi here, no phones. And they're really able to experience and learn about the wildness and the peacefulness and about the birds and the plants and the other animals. They have a deeper understanding of the environment because they know more facts and a deeper understanding of that kind of life. Sometimes when the camper is away from maybe siblings or even their families, they feel that they're in a safe place. And we tell them at the beginning of camp that we are safe people. If you have any concerns, you can come to us, you can talk to us. And so a lot of times, that's what they do. They talk to us about their friends or maybe their family. And it's just a very calming, safe experience for them. And because they are feeling safe, they're so kind to one another. And the amount of respect that I see the campers have for one another is pretty amazing. It's because I don't see that necessarily all the time in the classroom because I'm in the schools. But again, nature is a very calming force, and it's also a very level playing field because we're all faced with the same experience of maybe camping for the first time, sleeping on a sleeping bag for the first time. We're all eating the same food. We have the same vulnerabilities that all the other campers do, and it's just a level playing field. And because of that, there's a lot of respect.
I notice in talking with the campers, they mentioned several facts they've learned, several skills they've learned. They talked about bonding with each other in this environment and improvements in their mental health, all things that you mentioned as well. I'm wondering, in what ways have these outcomes even exceeded your expectations? Or has there been any other way that EcoCamp has exceeded your goals?
I think hearing the campers' answers to your questions, I was really pleased with what they were saying. Sometimes we don't, you know, we don't know their backgrounds and we don't know their vulnerabilities that they're coming to camp with. And so when they are sharing those experiences with us, that's really powerful. And I'm confident that the experiences that they're having here at this camp will be really impactful in their lives. And even if they don't come back for another time, this is the baseline where they can grow on in trusting other people and trusting themselves and trusting the natural world as a safe place to go to, as opposed to a place that they're afraid of. And it's not a scary place out there, but they are confronting their fears. The night sit the other night was pretty powerful because they expressed that they were afraid of being out in the dark at nighttime.
Yeah. Sitting alone.
Sitting alone, right. For it was only 10 or 15 minutes. They had not done that before. And we said before we did the sit that you can go ahead and go through your life not confronting your fears. That's one path to take, but here's another path, and it can have unanticipated, wonderful results. And after the sit, we walked out from Lightfeather Hot Springs all the way back to the vehicle. It's a half-mile hike. We walked out in the moonlight, in silence, and then we talked about it, and they all agreed that it was a very powerful experience for them, and it was not as frightening as they thought it would be.
Can you give us a brief history of EcoCamp?
So I started the EcoCamp 4 years ago. This is our fourth year doing it. The first year, though, in 2021, was only a day experience because we still had some COVID restrictions and we didn't want the people camping so close to one another. And so that was just a day thing. And then the second year, we had students from the Fort Sill Apache group come out from Texas and Oklahoma. We also had students from Grant County participate. We went down to the Mogollon Box, and that was for a five-day trip. Last year, 2023, we were at the Forks Campground, and that was really a great experience. And now I think this is the best location we've been at the Grapevine Campground because we're right next to the Gila River. There's so much shade. We have a dead snag right in front of all of our tents where a common black hawk comes down several times a day. And we get to see a great, amazing bird show with all the willows right by the river. The whole experience has been really wonderful for the campers. And also, honestly, it's been really great for me as well.
And in what way?
I like to see the campers enjoying being outdoors and really experiencing some things for the first time. Some campers were even a little timid to pick up a toad or were really amazed to see the bullfrog tadpoles. And so getting over that fear of picking up a toad or you know, I think that it's showing them that nature is not something to be afraid of. Mm-hmm. It's something to respect. And that for me is just really fulfilling because I know that it will last their lifetimes.
You are listening to New Earth Kids on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. We've been talking with Carol Ann Fugali, director and founder of EcoCamp, which provides a wilderness camping experience for teenagers. Let's return to the camper's circle for some last thoughts about EcoCamp and the Gila Wilderness.
Do you guys have any thoughts about what makes the Gila Wilderness special? I mean, we've talked about the river and the animals and plants, but any other thoughts about just the Gila in particular?
The fact that there's just such a big forest and somewhere where you would just consider it a desert, like the stereotypical view of New Mexico from someone who's not used to it or hasn't been here is just desert everywhere. Desert north, desert east, desert south, everywhere. And it's just very unique to see a forest out here. And also the fact that this was the first designated wilderness. So that's another special thing about the Gila. The fact that it's a forest and it's the first designated wilderness.
I think the fact that we are almost right next to several calderas is very exciting to know that just a couple, you know, casual million years ago, this was an active volcano area, and now it's all peaceful and serene. Perhaps it was before, but maybe not to us, and more so for everything else. But it's just amazing how much it can change. We learned from our geologist that to make it easier, they calculate the Earth's history through just 24 hours. And some of this has only existed for perhaps like 8 to 11 minutes. That small blip of time in it within a day, but actually it's just so long for us. And we're here for just a little bit. And this little area, yeah, it's just so special to us. And it's, you know, obviously something to cherish, but the fact that it's here, even without us, and so many other beings appreciate it just as much as we do. Perhaps even more, because they live here every single day.
It's cool that the Gila National Forest has one of the last natural flowing rivers in the whole New Mexico.
I'm really glad that we try and keep it wild and natural. And me and my dad both agree that we should keep it that way.
Yes, I do.
I think we're all on the same page there. Authorized.
Hey, how old is the Gila Wilderness, you guys?
100 years. The Gila Wilderness is like 100 years, and this is actually, this year is its anniversary year.
Yeah, pretty special year.
Yeah.
Yes, our centennial.
Yeah.
Have you guys had any experiences that have helped you change the way you see yourself?
After I read this book about trees and how they were getting cut down, a couple weeks later we came here and I thought about that book and I decorated this stump with feathers and stuff and I figured out that maybe, because we're going to cut down some trees on our property, so I was thinking, maybe don't cut down all the trees.
I think something I have been trying to exercise a lot is boundaries. So this is a perfect environment. I set up my camp far away from everyone else, not just because I didn't like anyone. I just think it was helping me experience things more personally with the environment if I was further away from people. And the couple nights ago, some weird creature crawled by my tent in the middle of the night and scratched at it. And my first reaction wasn't to like swat it away or scare it away. I just like let it pass by peacefully. And it made me realize that it didn't really mean any harm. And I don't mean any harm either. So I'll let it just do what it wants. Not everything is out to get you, and you shouldn't be out to get it either.
Coexistence. Yeah.
When I was swimming, I grabbed a stick, I pulled it out, and there was a long black sock hanging off it.
So what did you do?
I actually it's over there, so.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to take care of it. We're going to get it out of the space that it doesn't belong in.
Dad told me to get it out, and I just threw it off the stick and let the stick flow.
Beautiful. There let the go. Stick flow.
Yeah, I feel like every time I camp out with people for multiple days in the wilderness, I'm changed a little bit because of my experience of what appears to me to be really our birthright as human beings is to be outside in nature with other people and around the fire. And I think this is something that's just so a part of our, it's just a part of a blueprint of being a human being, of being in a group of people outside together, doing things together, and not everyone running off to do their own thing. And so every time I'm part of that, I feel again like I'm a little bit changed and a little bit more human, I think.
When I saw you guys return from your hike today, I just got a real sense that there's a good sense of community among this group. Do you guys think that's true? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so pleased with seeing the way that all the campers are interacting with one another in such a kind and respectful way. Different backgrounds, different experiences, yet we're all coming together and sharing some fun and interesting conversations, but just really respecting everyone's diversity. And I think that's really just a beautiful thing to see. So I just want to say thank you to all the campers and families that were here to help make this be a really special, memorable experience for the rest of our lives.
What is the most significant thing you will take from here? Like an idea or something you learned when you return back to civilization? When you go home, what's the most significant thing you'll be taking home with you?
I think I would like to go home and start making a toy bone arrow.
So I like to draw. And this time I really wanted to focus on observing all the trees and rocks and how they interact with each other. Because I mostly draw characters, I would really like to like try really hard and practice drawing environments that I can memorize from here. And because I've tried observing much more, I feel like I can get to know these topics better. And it'll actually be a lifelong skill I can develop of drawing backgrounds and environments. And that's going to be really beneficial to me.
I think I've learned to just slow it down a bit because I'm generally a decently fast person. Like, even when I'm walking, I take long and fast steps. I'm just thinking about slowing it down a bit.
When I get home, I think now that I've learned how to use a knife, I might, because I made a bone arrow, and I think I might want to make an arrow for it. So, yeah, I might do that.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you guys have had such a great experience, really deepening your connection with nature and with each other. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
That wraps up this episode of New Earth Kids. Thanks to the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance for hosting EcoCamp, and we'd like to thank the campers, instructors, and their families for sharing their experiences with us. New Earth Kids is sponsored by UGWA's Youth Empowerment Program, Thinking on a Mountain, and is part of the Kindred Continuum series on Gila Membres Community Radio, with music by Jason Shaw. Thanks for listening. See you next month.
Thank you so much for listening to New Earth Kids, part of the Kindred Continuum series on KURU 89.1 FM, Silver City, New Mexico. We'd like to thank the Upper Gila Watershed Alliance and their program, Thinking on a Mountain, for sponsoring this show. We would also like to recognize KURU General Manager Marcus Hansen for his ongoing support. May we all continue to listen, learn, and grow together. Bye now.